Hello, Adobe Radio listeners. My name is Dangerous Darren Pfeiffer from the rock and roll band Goldfinger and sometimes Sum 41 and punk rock karaoke. And maybe this summer I'll be doing some shows with the Canadian rock band Billy Talent. And welcome to another episode of the Dangerous Darren Show. It is February the 2nd, 2016. Joined, as always, by the one and only Mr. TS.
What's happening?
Is that the first time I've called you Mr. TS ever?
It's possible. It's quite possible.
I feel like it's probably official now.
It's a very formal it's a very formal greeting.
Now you're TS,
Mr. Dangerous Darren Pfeiffer.
You're TS the third.
Yes.
That means there was two of you.
There was two.
Your father and your grandfather.
Yes. My father's father before my father's father.
We shall rule the galaxy as father and son. So do you remember your grandfather, TS, original? TS is OG. Like, your great-grandfather, or your grandfather was OG.
Yes, he was OG.
Your dad, by definition, was a poser. And you're, like, the second-generation poser.
The third
coming. But your OG TS, what was he like?
He died before I was born.
So I never got to hang with him.
Heard lots of stories, seen some pictures. He kind of looked like Ron Jeremy.
Did he really?
Old Italian Ron Jeremy, which is amazing. The first time I put that together, I said it in front of my parents, and they were like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Look at the evidence, Mom and Dad. It's fucking Ron Jeremy,
like the warthog.
Well, anyway, I'm gonna call you TS, not TS3. Like, you know, it's like a video game system, PS3, PS4. You're just TS.
TS 3.0.
New and improved. We got a great show, TS. This is episode number 18. We got our friend Ken Casey.
Yeah.
Bass player and singer for the Dropkick Murphys, the pride of Boston.
Boston. I love the Dropkicks.
Who doesn't? If you don't like the Dropkicks, seriously, go get your head examined. They're one of the best punk rock bands of all time. Punk rock with an Irish flair. Songs about unity, brotherhood, drinking.
The working death, man.
The working man. Boston, the city of Boston. How great it is. It really is a great city. And we're drinking wine today. A nice California red mix called Ménage à Trois.
I believe it's a three grape blend.
Yeah.
Not bad.
We're not
2013.
We're not being weird, are we, TS, by two guys drinking a wine called Ménage à Trois? Is that weird at all? Is it funny?
It is goofy. It's a little ironic.
Where's the third? We need a third.
Where's Cinnamon?
Oh shit. I've been meaning to give her a call. Fuck. She texted me the other day. She's like, "Where you been, baby?" And I'm like, "Oh, I just blow her off, right? Because she blows me off."
It would have been a lot more appropriate if she was here.
Okay, we'll bring her in next time. But anyway, to Ménage à Trois, great wine. Cheers. It's pretty good. It's good table wine, right?
A nice color.
It's red, like color of wine. Color of red wine. Yeah, Ken Casey from the Dropkicks will be on the show. And we have music from Victory Records, our first Victory Record play of the Dangerous Darren Show, and a band called Colors, and they are out of Florida. Hit them up on Twitter at Colors, ColoursFL, which I have no idea what FL stands for.
Florida.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So thanks to Tony, Eric, and the good people over at Victory Records for giving us some music. Also, we have Twitter handles. Check it out when you get a chance, when you're online or on your phone. At DangerousD_show. TS is at Burn H Wood Burn, which I might add is a pretty fucking sweet Twitter handle. I'm at Darren99, and also our good folks at Blue Microphones for supplying the Yeti Pro mics that we record our show on. Hit them up. They are great microphones. They are at BlueMicrophones.com and as Twitter as well, at Blue Microphones. And again, lastly, our good friends at Roland_US. For the supplying of the V drums that I kick off the show with every week. It's kind of like a, hey, look what I can do on the drums.
And
not bad.
Might I add, only a drummer would start a show with a drum solo.
It's not a drum solo this week. It was more of a groove.
Oh, I see.
A couple weeks ago, I did the soloing. I was like, hey, fucking yeah, check this shit out. This is what I can do.
It's a groove. We're in the pocket.
It was all, dude, I'm always in the pocket. Is that the stealth bomber you have? Is that what you have?
I've got the stealth bomber today.
I haven't seen the stealth bomber in a while.
I pulled it out. I had to get a new replacement coil for it. And
It's high tech.
It's super high tech. Got three settings. Let's try it out. Make sure it's working. Stealth bomber coming in for a run.
Wow. Look at that. Vaping away.
Oh, yeah.
That's not vaping. That's the real deal.
That's the real
deal. Yeah, that's
deal.
Not vape. That's not. Vaping is like fake.
Well, sort of, you know. It's
is there real nicotine in it?
There's no nicotine in.
Then it's fake.
Well, it all depends on what you're vaping. You could vape THC. You can vape nicotine.
No, but you, when you go to like one of those places and buy a tube and you're like, oh, yeah, now I'm vaping. Look how cool I am. Is there any real functionality to it besides just blowing in smoke?
A lot of them, there's nicotine. It's like flavored nicotine.
I just asked you if the nicotine. Yeah. You said no.
There's no nicotine in mine.
No, yours is different. Yours is oil, right?
It's I've got to actually put some cake batter in there.
Cake batter?
Yes, like wax. Concentrate.
Oh, okay. All right, neat. Yeah,
see this little vial?
Look at that thing.
Look at that.
Wow, man, that's so high tech.
Waxy. Smell that.
Wow, Jesus, Murphy, that smells good. That smells
like
nice.
Concentrated cannabis.
I think I'm high right now.
It's a beautiful thing.
So what's going on, TS? What's going on in the world? Looking at what's going on, the Zika virus. Have you seen this thing?
Oh, man, I have. It's scary. There's lots of things out there that can kill you.
I want to tempt fate. Let's say me and you tempt fate and go to Central America or South America and just coat ourselves with butter and run around this in the daytime and just tempt mosquitoes to bite us.
Are mosquitoes attracted to butter? Or we might attract some other
animals. We can put honey on us, or we can be sweaty. We just any liquid they're attracted to on skin. What do you say? Want to do it?
Let's try it. Let's tempt fate.
All right, let me write that down. Book flight to Colombia. Got it.
There's dengue fever is rolling around the big island of Hawaii. And they say, it's only dangerous with certain mosquitoes. So, you know, be careful you don't get bit by those little striped ones. How the fuck are you supposed to see a mosquito has stripes on it or not?
Exactly. Yeah. Keep an eye out for the striped mosquito because of the size of beach balls and you can't miss them.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. Keep an eye out. Well, that mosquito's cool. That mosquito's cool. That one's an
that
asshole.
Nope. Squish him.
Get away from him, asshole mosquito. Yeah, that's pretty scary shit that's going on right now. And Rolling Stone magazine recently, they had a SNL cast member ranking, which I always think is funny. There's a few of them out there, but this one's a little off. Number one, there's 141 characters, or cast members over the years
to date.
Number 141 was Robert Downey Jr. That's a diss on Iron Man.
You know, I think you have to judge it by what he did on the show. And if he didn't get a lot of airtime and he was kind of just there through the 80s,
maybe
I don't really remember any of his characters.
Neither do I, to be honest.
Like, so maybe that's why he's 141.
Okay, here's the thing that strikes me. Would you think Adam Sandler would be in the top 10? I would.
Yeah, probably.
He's 17.
Well, he made the top 20. There's a lot of people that have gone through the SNL doors.
That's true. I'm not too upset about Sandler being 17. Chris Farley's 15. No, I'm sorry. Chris Farley needs to be in the top motherfucking 10.
Farley's definitely a top 10 player.
He might even be top 5, as far as I'm concerned. That's really bad. Will Ferrell, top 12. Again, he should be in top 10. He carried that show for many,
he did, through the
many
90s.
Years. Here's where I get a little pissed off. Chevy Chase, number 10. Chevy Chase was A, not funny, B, an asshole, and C, not funny. Fucking 10. He beats Will Ferrell, Adam Sandler, and Chris Farley. Disagree. Where they got it right was number 7, Phil Hartman. Number 6, Bill Murray. Number 5, Aykroyd. 4, Mike Myers. Number 3, Tina Fey. 3?
Tina Fey was hilarious. She is also a writer.
But top 10, dude.
She contributed in many ways that you...
Yes, I suppose. She did a good Sarah Palin. And she's pretty funny. She's pretty funny. But she's not like a Van Down by the River or I'm Gumby, damn it. You know, she didn't do any of that shit. I'm sorry. I just disagree, man. Tina Fey, top 3? I don't know.
I love Tina Fey. She actually threw a fucking pencil at me in the hallway at SNL.
That's pretty sweet. That's a sweet story. Really?
Yeah, I was...
was she mad at you?
I don't think she was mad at me, but she was mad at something that was going on, and I just happened to be there, and I was walking up in the hallway, and like a pencil flew in my direction. And
wow. What an honor.
It was. I was honored.
Well, as far as pencil throwing, she might be in the top 3. But as far as all-time cast members, she took the spot of... I mean, you could easily put Farley in the top 5. and remove Tina Fey and put Tina Fey in the 15. If she makes top 15, I'm fine with that. What else is kind of a disgrace? Sandler could have been in the top 15 or top 10. Will Ferrell, 12. I'm sorry, Will Ferrell should be... Okay, let me change that back. Will Ferrell should be in the top where Tina Fey is, and Tina Fey should be 12.
What? We don't even... Where did...
Eddie Murphy came in at number 2.
Okay.
And John Belushi came in at number 1. Where now, here's the thing I have with that. John Belushi, legendary comedian, really, really funny guy. I get it. No Coke, Pepsi. Ha, ha, ha. Samurai Divorce Court. You know, about Candy Graham. You know, the shark that came through the door. Yeah. Fucking Eddie Murphy was so fucking funny on that show. Like, he was the reason why SNL was successful in the late 80s and early 90s. I think he should be number 1 and Belushi should be number 2.
When Eddie Murphy goes in whiteface, he dresses as a white man. Oh, that was hilarious.
I'd like to buy this paper. Take it, man.
Go ahead and take it.
No one's around.
I've noticed white people give things to each other for free.
And the black guy gets off the train and all of a sudden the party starts. There's drinks and girls with cigarettes. That is, and he made that. I think he made that all up. That's his, like, his brainchild. But that's a little weird. Recently, TS, I made a really funny Viagra commercial. I took a Viagra commercial and I chopped it up. It's really, really funny, folks. If you get a chance, go to either my Twitter, which is Darren99, or TS's, which is BurnHWoodBurn, or hit us up on the show Twitter, which is @DangerousD_show. It's there. You got a kick out of it.
It was hilarious. We have a YouTube, don't we, as well?
It is on. It's actually on the YouTube.
It's on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's how you'll see it.
Which is, you know, we're still developing that.
Dangerous Darren Show. Yeah. Just type in Dangerous Darren Show and it pops up. It's right there. Also recently, TS, I was hacked twice.
Really?
Yep. Somebody went into my credit card account, my American Express account, Goldfinger credit card, and rented a car in Toronto. The time I was there and smashed it and caused like $1,900 in damage.
That's crazy.
Total fraud.
Total fraud.
I didn't rent a car from Enterprise. I didn't bring my Goldfinger American Express card with me. So full on hack. Second time I got hacked was about a week ago. Someone went into my mom's Bank of America account, and because ours are linked together. They got into mine and stole $900 out of my bank account.
Where did it? From some random ATM in like the Eastern Bloc?
No, it was an email transfer. Okay. They emailed it to themselves. And luckily, they gave me the $900 back plus the $70 for like, hey, we're real sorry. So I actually profited from it.
Scored.
But I had to go to the bank and shut down my checking account, my savings account, my business account, my credit card, my ATM. I was there for 2+ hours, like, dealing with all this shit.
Yeah, it's a huge hassle. Online fraud is like billions of dollars in fraud every year. Yeah, luckily, you're covered.
So
that.
I got $970 back. So I made, and I was at the bank for 2 hours. So I was I made $35 an hour when I was at the bank. It's not bad, right?
Not
it's pretty
bad.
Good.
Not a bad day's work. Not
and the Sean Connery letter that I recently came across, where he, this was a while ago, many years ago, 1998, it looks like. I never saw this, but I just recently saw it, and I know it's old news, and if you haven't seen it if you have seen it, then whatever, just bear with me. A letter from the desk of Sean Connery back in December of 1998, and he sent a letter to Steve Jobs at Apple Computers, and he said, "Dear Mr. Jobs, I will say this one more time. Do you understand English, don't you? I do not sell my soul for Apple or any other company. I have no interest in changing the world," end quote. "As you suggest, you have nothing that I need or want. You are a computer salesman. I am fucking James Bond." "I can't think of a quicker way to destroy my career than to appear in one of your crass adverts. Please do not contact me again. Best, Sean Connery."
Now, was that real?
I don't know.
I think it's been debunked.
Has it been debunked?
And he's denying that he ever wrote that.
Well, nevertheless, it's fucking hilarious.
But we have it here in black and white.
And what should we do first? Yeah, should we get to our interview with Ken Casey from the Dropkick Murphys, or should we get into some music? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Let's
Actually, let's do Did You Know?
Okay.
You go first this time.
All right. Did you know that a single sperm contains 37.5 megabytes of DNA information? So, with one ejaculation representing a data transfer of about 15,875 gigabytes, or Jesus. The combined capacity of 62 MacBook Pro laptops.
Are you one sperm?
One sperm.
A sperm cell?
One single sperm cell flopping around contains 37.5 megabytes of DNA information.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No, I had no idea that they could even measure the megabyte ability of a single sperm swimmer.
And so that one ejaculation is a data transfer of about almost 16,000 gigabytes.
Oh, my God. That's fucking nuts, TS. I did not know that. I learned something today. How many megs is it? One sperm?
37.5.
37.5. So that's like maybe like 10 emails?
Yeah. It's like one high resolution picture.
Yeah. It's like maybe 10 seconds of music. Did you know, TS, that astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson almost became a male stripper to pay for school? But after seeing the dancers soak their jock straps in lighter fluid and set them ablaze to great balls of fire one night, he decided to become a math tutor instead.
I did not know that. The world is probably a better place.
Could you imagine him at a strip, male strip joint? I mean, he's a smart guy, but I don't think he's sexy.
Maybe he was when he was going to college. He was a little more trim.
He ate right.
Exercise. Maybe he had abs of steel.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's true, but I'm sure the sperm thing is pretty true. Let's get to our chat with Ken Casey, bass player, founding member of the amazing punk rock band out of Boston, Mass. They are called the Dropkick Murphys. Here it is, Ken Casey on the Dangerous Darren Show.
On the telephone here on the Dangerous Darren Show on the Adobe Radio Network with one of the founding members of Boston's finest, the Dropkick Murphys, Mr. Ken Casey. Hello, Ken. How are you doing today?
How you doing, pal? Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. Thanks for joining me, my friend. It's been a long time. And, right off the bat, that I am a gigantic hockey fan. Grew up in Buffalo, New York. A Sabres fan. You're a Bruins fan. Not much of a rivalry, but nevertheless, I saw your video about the pure hockey.
It was a rivalry back in the day with Jay Miller and Kevin McGuire and Lindy Ruff and Larry Playfair and O'Reilly. Those I used to love playing Buffalo. It was quite intense back then in the playoffs and stuff.
Oh, exactly. The fights were out of control. We had Korab, you had O'Reilly. It was just out of control. Some of the battles that we had, some of the great playoff series were really intense. But when you talk about Boston rivalry, it's always Montreal, right?
Yeah.
There's some deep, deep hatred for the Montreal Canadiens, and I can attest to that. I'm not a gigantic fan of that club myself, but you guys have your own Dropkick Murphys hockey stick you developed with Pure Hockey, which is, dude, unbelievable that you have your own hockey stick. I got to get my hands on one. We'll talk about that later. But tell me how that came about. How did you approach them? Did they approach you?
No, True Hockey is a great company. They sponsor a lot of charity fund stuff, and then they came up with the idea. They said, "I think it would be a great unique thing to do." And we were pumped to have our own hockey stick, and it's been going great. It's a high end stick. It's nice. So a lot of people have been sending me pictures of their kids, using them in high school hockey games or whatever, and it's definitely something that I never would have dreamed we'd ever be able to say, but it's cool, and it's all raising money for charity. So
right, exactly. I'm gonna go ahead and order one for sure. It'd be really cool if I'm playing on some teams and some pickup games here in LA, and someone says, "Is that a Dropkick Murphy hockey stick?" That'd be pretty cool. Do you get on the ice yourself?
Yeah, I haven't in a little bit, but I would play in the alumni games. As a matter of fact, the last time the Winter Classic was here at Fenway a few years ago, I got a goal in the alumni game at Fenway. So that was whenever all my college hockey buddies from when we were kids bragging, reliving their glory days, I always say, "Oh, I'm sorry, does anybody else here have a goal at Fenway?" No, they can't stop that.
Good. Does anybody else anybody else in the band skate, like Matt or James or Jeff? Any of those guys hit the ice?
I don't know Jeff, but Matt does a little, and actually, I can't remember if James does or not. But I used to, we used to have a regular Friday night pickup, and matter of fact, we're going to do a Cladafun hockey tournament in late April, and have about 12 teams, two different divisions. So, the hockey connection runs deep with the band, and a lot of the fans are hockey people. So,
right.
It's a good way to kind of cross promote and raise money for charity.
Yeah, punk rock and hockey definitely go together, like peanut butter and jelly. It's just like it's a violent sport. It's a violent music. It's a cool sport. It's a cool music. You know what I mean? Like, I think the parallels are there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great pairing for the Dropkick Murphys, for sure.
Well, maybe if you're keen, maybe me and Greg Hetson, Greg from Bad Religion, Circle Jerks, and
I do, of course.
Yeah, we play in punk rock karaoke now. I've been joining that band for about a half a year now, and maybe me and him can get on a plane and come join in.
We would be honored to have you.
And also, Eric Melvin from NoFX is in the band as well, so he's a big hockey fan too.
Yep.
So
I know Russ Rankin from Good Riddance is a huge hockey fan and skates. So yeah, you might be able to field half a team from California.
We actually might be able to build a whole team. There's a lot of casts out here that play as well. It's a passion of mine. So tell me, Ken, with the Dropkicks, it's 25 years, correct? You guys have been doing it professionally?
No, 20 years. God, it feels like 25, but 20.
Oh, 20. Yeah, I mean, we're coming on 20 years as well. I mean, do you still have the passion for the music? You have the passion for the fans, and you have the passion for the genre. I mean, what's the driving force? Is it just it's in your blood and in your DNA? You're never going to give it up, right?
I mean, getting on that stage and playing for such enthusiastic people. You know what I mean? I don't know. I've never been in a type of band that's been like playing for like passive kind of fans that just watch, but the intensity and enthusiasm and the gratitude and the happiness that comes back from the fans. It's like, God, why would you ever want to give that up, And I really enjoy writing songs still, So that's, I think, my biggest motivator is that, every few years you have a bunch of new songs, and that whole process of, like, playing them live and seeing how people react to them, it's an awesome experience. Very grateful. We're all lucky people that do this,
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Talking about the recordings, I mean, you guys haven't released a record since 13, right? Where it's signed and sealed. And Blood, what's going on as far as new music? You got some demos that you've written? And
Yeah, we've got about 13 songs done. We're scheduled to go in the studio in like late April, early May. We don't know if we'll finish it all at once, so I think we're going to go out and leave town for the first time and go lock ourselves away somewhere, because everyone's got kids and stuff now. When you're trying to make a record and juggle your own life, and we think we'd be better suited to just go somewhere where we were just trapped in the studio and weren't trying to like run to the store and get milk for the house or whatever it might come up, go let the dog out, whatever you have to do, it'd be
right.
Nice to just get away, So we're gonna try that this time.
Well, with all the guys in the Dropkicks having kids, I suppose that was something that led to you guys working with the Pavlov Foundation, correct?
I mean, Jeff is our manager, and he had lost a son, and that's the inspiration behind starting the foundation. And my God, like you said, I can't even fathom it. And so charity work's important to us, and I think that it's definitely something that anybody who has a kid or anyone who doesn't, even it's just like the thought of someone losing a child, it's just it's scary. So anything we can do to raise funds so that maybe someone else doesn't have to down the line we're all about it.
You know what, man? It's really, really super cool of you guys to do that. There's no doubt about it. And everybody should definitely go check out the Pavlov Foundation and your association with teaming up with them. It's cutting edge pediatric cancer research, and it's really inspiring. I wish more bands not just punk bands. I wish more bands would get involved in charity because, as you know, music is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, and they're willing to spend that little extra if it's for a good cause like this. And so my hat's off and props to you guys for getting involved in that. It's really super cool.
Well, it's really props to our fans that support it. And, you know, when we do these events or, you know, come up with ways through the band to raise money, they always support it. Like you said, they're some of the most generous people, you know. And we're not always talking about people who have disposable income, too. We're talking about people who are, you know, sacrificing to be able to, you know, write a check for $100 or $50 or $20, whatever it is. Sometimes these people, you know, they got to give something up to do that. And sometimes that's even, it almost means more, you know what I mean, when it's that way.
Yeah, I totally agree. Talking to Ken Casey, bass player, founding member of the Dropkick Murphys, based out of Boston, Massachusetts. Ken, when's the next time you guys are hitting the road? What's the tour forecast look like for 2016?
So we start a tour in Cleveland, two nights in Cleveland, and then kind of do out through the Midwest, you know, Chicago, Minneapolis, down through St. Louis, Texas, over to New Orleans and up to the Carolinas, and of course end in Boston on our, we do, you know, the St. Patrick's Day week in Boston. And then we'll kind of tune up all the songs through late March and April, and then go in and record in late April, May, and then we go to Europe for all of June. And that's all we've booked so far, because we're trying to determine whether we're maybe going to release an album in the fall or whether we'll hold on to it and wait till early 2017. So we're kind of leaving that next space of touring open till we decide exactly when we're going to release an album.
Right. Well, I mean, the fans are dying for it. Everyone's dying for it, especially me. I mean, I'm a big, big fan and stoked to have you on the Dangerous Darren Show. For everybody that wants to learn more about the band, if you're not familiar with the Dropkick Murphys, you definitely should be. DropkickMurphys.com, or they're on Twitter at Dropkick Murphys. And Ken, your personal Twitter is at KenDKM. Thanks for coming on the show, my friend. I'll see you when you hit the road and sometime this year when you make your way to Los Angeles. And be well, be good, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me on.
There you go, folks. My chat with Ken Casey, founding member, bass player, singer for Boston, Massachusetts band, the Dropkick Murphys, one of the best hardcore punk rock bands of all time. Where would you put them in the top 10, TS? Or the top, let's say top 50 hardcore punk bands of all time.
Man,
I'm putting you on a spot.
They're in the top 20.
I would say so. Maybe I would safely 15. Say they're in the top 20. So what do you want to do? Want to do weed news or music news?
Let's do some music news.
Okay. What's going on in the world of music? Check out this song.
Lots going on in the world of music. News, news, news from the world of music. Music, 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 music. Music news in your motherfucking face.
Ah, great, yeah. Diddy. Took me weeks to write that song. Adele and Donald Trump are clashing, TS. You heard about this, right,
in the BBC? I did. She doesn't want her songs used by Donald Trump, as many artists don't want.
Like Aerosmith and R.E.M. and the list goes on and on.
The list goes on.
Like fucking Trump, man. Like Adele. Like, God bless her heart. She's incredibly brilliant. Her songs are well written. She's super cool. And Donald Trump is the exact opposite of that. So, yeah, good for Adele to do that. David Bowie, I just found out, auditioned for the movie Lord of the Rings. He was going to be Gandalf, the character of Gandalf.
He would have been a pretty cool Gandalf.
But he didn't get it.
He wasn't right, because who's Gandalf? Patrick Stewart?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know about the guy. No, wasn't it?
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, Luke. Yeah, I think you're right. But anyway, like, how can you say no to David Bowie? Hey, Mr. Bowie, thanks for coming. You're awesome and everything, but we're going to give it to Captain Kirk.
Do you think they actually... It's Picard. You're going to give it to Picard.
Picard, yeah. We're going to give it to Picard. Weird.
You know, do you think they actually made him read for that part?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
He, like, went in and read. And
yeah, it's got to,
like,
be fair. It's got to be
you
right.
You shall not pass. They're like, that was great, Mr. Bowie, but Don't call us, we'll call you.
Ground control, you shall not pass. Johnny Rotten just turned 60 a couple days ago, TS.
60-year-old punk rockers. What do you think of that?
I still want to kick his ass. I still want to take a swing at him.
He seems kind of he still seems kind of salty and would probably throw back.
He would.
I think.
But could you imagine if me and him got into a fight? I saw him at the Apple Store at Santa Monica Promenade, I'd say about a year ago. And I struggled with whether or not I should say something to him to let him know that we toured together and we almost got into a fight. But I didn't. I walked away. I was like, I'll probably just take the high road and walk away here. But I should have, dude, because I wonder what he would have said to me.
Was he by himself?
No, he was with one of his little boy toys. And he's always has like a little short boy toy with him wherever he goes. Not judging. So I thought, man, he wouldn't have been much of a fight anyway. But I just wonder if he would have fought me back.
If you got into a fight in the Apple Store in Santa Monica,
I'd probably cause like $20,000 in damage.
It'd be hilarious.
Because all the stuff that's nearby. But I what if you would have said to me, I remember you fucking wanker.
You
let's go outside.
Cunt.
You fucking cunt. I'd be like, let's do this.
Let's go.
I'd call you, TS, call TMZ right now. Tell me to get to the promenade. Darren Pfeiffer from the band Goldfinger beats up Johnny Lydon. Well, here's Darren Pfeiffer. He's in his mid-40s. Johnny Lydon's 60. Darren's a jerk. Wait, you beat up on the elderly Darren, elderly
that's,
basher.
It's elder punk abuse.
Yeah, right. What else is going on? The window of a British violin. The widow. I take that back. The widow of a British violinist finally received some UK royalty payments for his part on the Michael Jackson song Billie Jean. Three decades after he performed on the song, he's finally getting paid.
That's
called bad accounting.
That is totally bad accounting. It should have been a pretty sweet check after 3 decades. Yeah. Probably accrued a lot of interest in penalties.
Hey, are you the widow of the guy that played on Billie Jean? Yes, I am. It's been 30 years here, but we have a check for you for like $4 billion. Can we mail it to you?
No, Michael Jackson's estate, they didn't really make that much money. Forget about the little people when you need to buy like llama food.
I mean, he's been dead for a while, and I'm sure the widow's getting up there in age as well. I think his name was Rudolph Hill, if I remember correctly. And he played violin, and because of this new law in the UK, he's supposed to get paid. But I wonder how much money it is. I'd love to know what the dollar amount is.
We could probably find out.
And finally, the vinyl, that new HBO show is coming out in a couple weeks. It's based on the record company of the 1970s. It looks pretty damn good.
A specific record company or a general?
I think it's just a general record company, like how they did business, how they signed bands and the partying and the drugs and the girls and the loose royalty payment accounting practices.
It was a different time back then.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to watch that show, that's for sure. Weed news, let's get to the music.
Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news.
Ah, classic. And for all things medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, or all things just weed news, Mr. T.S.
Thank you very much.
Formal again, Mr. T.S.
Mr. Dangerous Darren, thank you. This week's weed news comes to us from Chicago, Illinois. Ex-Chicago Bears quarterback Jim McMahon. You've heard of him?
Never heard of him.
1985 Bears Super Bowl champ.
That's right.
Super Bowl shuffle.
Yeah, Walter Payton.
Yeah, he's recently spoken out about his use of medical marijuana. He currently lives in Arizona, which is a medical marijuana state as of 2010. And, Jim McMahon's 15-year career in the NFL has left him with some serious health issues. You know, he entertained us for so long, and now he's got some problems. He's been plagued with debilitating health issues following his 15-year NFL career, including multiple concussions. He's been diagnosed with early stages of dementia,
Jesus.
Severe headaches, depression, memory loss, vision, and speech problems. And he also suffered from a broken neck.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea the man had that much abuse.
Yeah, I had no idea either. And the broken neck, I don't even remember him breaking his neck, but he did. They probably kept it quiet at the time. So he's also joined a class action lawsuit against the NFL, pending lawsuit, accusing the NFL of negligence and misconduct in handling concussions. So McMahon got his medical marijuana license in Arizona, and he says he smokes once in the morning to relieve his pain and several times throughout the day. He, at one point in his life, he was taking 100 Percocets a month to manage his pain. That's a lot of pills.
Three a day? Approximately?
Approximately three a day. So they, you know, who knows what the milligrams were, but it's a lot. It's a heavy dose. It's heavy on the old body. All right, so McMahon's comments come at a time when Illinois Governor Bruce Rainier is
Bruce Ruiner.
Bruce Ruiner. My pronunciation may be incorrect. Somebody tweet me the correct pronunciation. Anyway, I digress. Is considering adding more conditions to the list of 40 conditions that already qualify for medical marijuana. So they want to add more conditions that deal with pain and pain management. And, of course, the critics fear loosening these medical marijuana conditions that the system will become too liberal and they'll become like California. But, you know, they already...
Are you talking about conditions for Arizona?
For Illinois.
Illinois.
Yeah, it might be a little confusing. McMahon lives in Arizona.
But his card is in Illinois?
And his card is in Arizona. But he's in Illinois this week because it's the 30th anniversary of the... Is it 30 years already?
85?
Of the 85...
No, it'd be over that. 85, 95...
It's 2015.
2005. 16. So, yeah. So. That was last year. No, there'll be a 30 this year.
Yeah,
30
years.
Yeah,
Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, yeah.
So it's the anniversary of the 85...
they beat New England Patriots that year.
Bears. So he's in town to do a 30 for 30, and he's bringing up some issues in Illinois about medical marijuana.
He's not the first. We've talked about football players in the past, right?
Yes.
Other guys.
Yes, we have. The Gridiron Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, and what's his name? Kyle Turley?
Turley
was doing it. And a bunch of other players are using it as well.
So McMahon comes out.
Is he complaining that he has to use it, or is he stoked with it, or happy with it?
He's happy with his use because he's not taking all those Percocets every day.
Jesus
throughout
Christ.
Throughout the month. And it's helped. And he lives in Arizona. It's a nice sunshine, warm state. So, you know, get out there and chill out and lay by the pool and relax.
Well, good for him.
He's your pain.
He's doing the marijuana shuffle now. The cannabis shuffle.
Anyway,
so that's what's going on. This is a higher profile football player. I mean, not that Kyle Turley wasn't. I mean, of course, we all know what he's done. But Jim McMahon, I mean, he won a Super Bowl. He had the looks. He had the wristband or the headband and Super Bowl shuffle.
He had that toothy smile.
He worked with him and Ditka were really close. And wow, that's crazy, man. I mean, it's got to be other athletes too that are using medical marijuana, like hockey players, ex-hockey players, soccer players.
They don't even test in some of the other sports, like the NHL doesn't test and MLB doesn't test for marijuana. So there's probably some players using. We'll have to get to the bottom of that.
I know.
We'll dig deeper.
You know, I just talked to Theo Fleury. Maybe we'll get him on the phone again later on and ask him if he knows anybody that uses, although I'm sure he's clean as a whistle right now. Well, there you go. There's your weed news for February the 2nd, 2016, the year of our Lord. Speaking of the NFL, TS. Let's cheers to weed news.
Cheers.
That's good stuff. Delicious menage a trois with my male friend, TS. Not weird at all.
The devil's threesome.
NFL picks, TS, Super Bowl 50, Denver Broncos, Carolina Panthers in beautiful Northern California. Santa Clara, California is the site of Super Bowl 50 and Levi's Stadium. You have your beloved Denver Broncos against, for somewhat recently hated, Carolina Panthers. I don't know why they seem like they're getting a lot of hate right now, because I guess everyone wants Denver and Manning to get his second ring and have him sail off into the sunset like Elway did. You know, like
there's a lot of Cam haters out there right now. I don't hate Cam at all. I think it's great for the sport. Get out there, be enthusiastic, dab away, dance, do whatever, fire up your team. Piss off the opponents. It's working. It's working for you. He's really come along.
Yeah.
Like, get out there and do it. You know, I'm more on the donkey's side, a.k.a. the Broncos.
Donkeys.
But I don't hate Cam at all.
I think it's going to be a fucking great Super Bowl. Let me tell you why. Because you got the number one offense with the Carolina Panthers. You got Cam Newton. He's polarizing. He's got momentum on his side. The whole team has momentum on their side. But then on the other side of the coin, you got the number one defense. Swarming. Look what they did against Brady. They put him to the ground 22 times. They rushed him and bum rushed him and sacked him and got in his face 22 fucking times, and they beat him.
It's hard to throw the ball when you're on your back.
And he threw the ball into the ground maybe, 10 times? He got pressured a lot. So you got that. And you have Peyton Manning. And when you have Peyton Manning, you're never out of a football game, ever. Maybe he's not the Peyton Manning of when he was a Colt or when he first got to the Broncos, but he's still Peyton Manning. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's not going to be blown away by the lights and the glitz and the glamour of the game. He's going to get in there. He's got a mission to do, and I think he's going to win this Super Bowl, but it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to come down to a final kick, maybe something like that.
I'm kind of thinking the first half is going to be low scoring, maybe open up in the second half. I'm still thinking it's going to be a tight game.
Yeah.
Should we do a score prediction?
Let's do it right here. So TS right here says, what do you say? Who's going to win?
I'm taking the Donkeys, a.k.a. the Broncos.
Let's do a score. Denver, all right. Carolina, what do you think the score is going to be?
24-21.
24-21. That's pretty close. I'm going to say because of the defense of Denver, it's going to be a little low scoring. It's going to be 17-15. 2-point game.
I like it.
Field goal, I got 2 points. Someone's going to miss an extra point in there. That's what's going to happen. We'll see what happens. Gentlemen's
first.
Bet.
He heard it first.
Cheers to Super Bowl 50. 50 great years of Super Bowls, although there were 4 in there that I like to forget, as would you, which was that great 30-for-30, the four falls of Buffalo. Hard to watch.
It's very hard.
Hard to watch.
I need a box of tissues if I'm ever going to watch that again.
NHL All-Star Game was on a couple days ago on Sunday in Nashville. I thought the city of Nashville did a great job. The game itself, fan fucking tastic. 3-on-3 format, love it.
It's so fast, it's amazing.
Goals galore, and that John Scott story was amazing. He just came out of nowhere, got all these votes, got in, got the MVP, won the car. Good for him. People think it's stupid. Oh, he's not in the NHL. He just was a stupid campaign on social media. I don't fucking care. The guy scored 2 goals. It's rad. It's polarizing. It gets people talking about the sport. This should be like that, a write-in guy every year. Hey, remember that dude who sucked, wasn't very good? Let's bring him in. It'll be fun. He gets to play with Jagr and Ovechkin and, Crosby and whatever. It was really, really amazing. I really, really liked it. In the NBA, the Lakers are on 11 games, a losing streak. Ha, ha, ha. And the Raptors are the hottest team in the East right now. They are on 11-game winning streak, and they're only a game and a half behind Cleveland in the East for the number one spot. Watch out for the Raptors in the NBA Finals. I know you got Golden State in San Antonio, but watch out.
Nice projection.
For the Toronto Raptors in the NBA. And that's your look at sports for the Dangerous Darren Show. Cheers.
Cheers.
More menage a trois. Yeah, this is a good stuff.
That is. I'm liking it.
Let's get to some music. Yeah. Music from the Florida band off the Victory Records label. They are called Colors, and a song called Monster. I checked it out. I like it, and so will you. It's on the Dangerous Darren Show. Music from Colors out of Florida on the Victory Records label. Hit them up on Twitter at Colors, C-L-O-U-R-S-F-L, because they are from Florida. Good stuff, good grungy, little kind of electronic, little gothy.
Kind of moody.
That's the kind of guy Tony Bramell is. He's got a good ear. I like it. And we're going to get him on the show, too, because he's had a storied career in punk rock. And victoryrecords.com, check them out. They've signed a plethora of amazing bands. What are we missing, Jess? What's left? Groundhog Day is, what, tomorrow or today?
Today. Groundhog Day is today.
Shit, I got to watch that Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
Get those two mixed up. Good. And what's her name? What's a girl in that movie called? Annie. What's her name? What's her name?
Man, we need more interns.
She's so cute.
Here.
Where's our interns?
You're fired. You're not getting college credit for this.
What's her name? Everyone's listening right now going, I know what? her name is Groundhog Day. It stars Bill Murray and the girl.
And that girl from that other movie.
Anyway, the Salty Dog Cruise is coming up. When you look it up, let me know.
It's, all right.
Salty Dog Cruise is Flogging Molly, and it's going to be on March 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th to the Bahamas. My band, Punk Rock Karaoke, will be on the boat there to the Bahamas and back, and we're going to be playing in the Bahamas as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've never been on a cruise, and Andie MacDowell, that's her name.
Yeah.
Andie MacDowell, very pretty in that movie. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I wasn't there last year. I just joined the band 6 months ago. But everybody in the Punk Rock Karaoke camp, Greg Hetson and Stan Lee and Soto, they tell me it's a lot of fun. It's just partying, drinking, more music on top of music and casino. Then you get to the Bahamas, and it's fucking Bahamas, right? So you're at the beach all day and surfing and swimming and snorkeling. And then back on the boat for another ride back to Miami with more shows.
It's a three-day cruise. Full of old punk rockers.
Maybe a some 3 day cruise
of music.
A punk rock
partying.
Started getting rough.
A tiny ship was tossed.
Darren got drunk and jumped overboard. Now Darren is in the propellers.
Oh, no.
TS, if I die, TS, I want the show to be called the TS Show. The Dangerous TS Show.
TS Show featuring Darren Pfeiffer's ghost.
You'll get a Ouija board contacting Darren Pfeiffer. Did those propellers hurt?
Yes. He just keeps spelling out ghost pussy. I don't know what that means.
Apparently when you die, you can still get laid. Next week, TS, we got a good show on the Dangerous Darren Show right here on Adobe Radio Network. BMX legend Rick Thorne.
Yeah.
Guy has done some cool shit on a bike, and he's a street guy. He goes around, finds different sites around LA. He's a singer. He's in a cool little hard rock, punk rock band. I've played a show with him at the Troubadour once. He is a writer, a producer, a TV show guy. He is just all around kind of jack of all trades, and we're going to have him on the show.
That guy's broken like almost every bone in his body.
Pretty much.
Well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And also music from an Epitaph band, the Menzingers. The Menzingers. And this song title is hilarious. I don't want to be an asshole anymore.
It's probably some words to live by.
You'll probably look it up online before next week. But when you get a chance, check out the Menzingers and the song called I Don't Want to Be an Asshole Anymore. But in case you're lazy and you don't want to hear it, you'll hear it next week on the Dangerous Darren Show. Hit TS up on Twitter at Burn H Wood. Burn, I'm at Darren99, and the show is at DangerousD_show. Thanks to our good friends at Blue Microphones, our good friends at Roland USA for the V-Drums. I also like to thank Ken Casey, the rock band Colors out of Florida, on the Victory Record label. Check them out. And one more time, a little menage a trois. Good.
Cheers.
Red wine from California. See you next week, folks. Cheers. Go Kings.
Smoke weed every day.